remember reading about where Brother Sheffy got so old he couldn't ride the buckboard or the horse to go to camp meeting. So it was the first one he'd ever missed, and he was real sad and blue. And he told them when they filed back by at the end of the week where they'd been having camp meeting, he said, he said if we just knew how important it was. And they told him the angels would come down and sing. He said, you know, he said, I wouldn't doubt if they don't sing all the time. We just don't get where we can hear them. Amen. And, well, they had a wonderful camp meeting 100-some years ago. And I was riding out here today. I just said to myself, you know, wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful when people left at the end of this week, they'd say, boy, we had a great camp meeting. Amen. I feel better about it. Amen. Well, it's a wonderful thing. Camp meeting really is. And when I was a little boy, when I got saved when I was 19, and I'm twice the man I used to be. Praise God. Hallelujah. But when I got saved, and I'd never heard of a camp meeting before, never been in a camp meeting before, didn't know anything about holiness. Was might as well have been Mormon for all I know about it. I didn't know anything about it. Never heard the word Holy Ghost in my life until I was 19. And Preacher Horton used to get up and he would say, "We will never know the value of a camp meeting." Amen. And we ought to do everything we can to keep the work of God going. Turn with me tonight to Isaiah chapter 58. Like to read one verse of scripture. Amen. 58:12. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations. Praise God. Turn to 64. Amen. And you'll notice there in that chapter 64, verse 4, they shall build the old waste places. That's what I want to preach on tonight, if the Lord would help me, on building the old waste places. God is able to do that. He is able to do that. He's the only one I know that can do that. They had talking of the walls that Nehemiah built. Amen. Isaiah refers, amen, to their desolation because of their sin and because of the ruins that laid there. Well, nobody but God could make the prediction of prophecy that I will build again their old waste places. Praise God. Amen. There's something about man, and man is always going to be a failure. Amen. And God knows that, you see. Amen. And God is able, amen, to give us hope even in our failure. Amen. Hey, men need that. Men today need that. There are people still in our churches. They are constantly failing. Amen. You may not be wicked tonight, but you could be very weak tonight. And a lot of our members in our churches, amen, they're not necessarily so wicked, amen, but oh my God, they're weak, amen. So, some of the most horrible acts in nature are crowned with restoration. Amen. I want you to look at this a minute with me. Some of the most horrible acts in nature are crowned, amen, with restoration. Hey, God just put it in the earth if we'll look at it. Huh? In May the 18th and 1980, the most powerful display that man has ever witnessed in the history, amen, since he's been on earth, amen, was displayed in Mount St. Helens, amen, in the state of Washington. Amen. That volcano blew the top off of one of the mountains of the earth. It was so stupendous. It was so powerful. Man had never seen anything like it. Huh? So some of the most destructive forces in nature, amen, are volcanoes and hurricanes and earthquakes. Amen. The destruction of it is almost complete. Let me tell you about this earthquake we had in a volcano we had in 1980. It was so the top of that mountain was 2.5 miles long, amen, and 1.5 miles wide. Try to get that in your head. Amen. At that time, the mountain itself was 9,377 feet high. Amen. God, with that volcano, it lifted 1,340 feet deep, blew the top of that mountain into the air. Woo! Amen. It's almost unfathomable, amen, the amount of energy it took to blow the top of that mountain, amen, up into the stratosphere where it went around the world. Huh? Oh, God. Amen. It destroyed every tree for 230 square miles. It made Hiroshima and Nagasaki look like a firecracker. Woo! You imagine that, amen. 10 times powerful than an atomic bomb when it blowed the top of that mountain off and left that crater. Amen. Oh, they went in and they harvested the wood after that volcano. They harvested wood and it was enough to make 77,100 homes. 230 square miles completely and totally devastated. Blowed it, God blowed it to bits. We place tonight great credence in science. Amen. If a science can say it or a doctor can say it, amen, we believe it. If God says it, we want tongues and interpretation. We want, amen, we've got to have it verified. I don't know how many times, amen. Oh, God, but I will tell you something. Brother, when God gets through a shake in this world in a few days, that ain't going to look like much. You hear me? Oh, God, help me. Help me now, amen. Glory to God, amen. Here's what one scientist said, amen. He looked at it and he said, it's unbelievable. But in the aftermath of such destruction, life was taking place. They went there the next year. And I'm going to tell you, when you've got hundreds and millions of tons of lava going down a mountainside, there ain't nothing left. You hear me? Amen. It is destroyed, total and complete. Amen. But you know what? The scientists went back there the next year after that volcano, and the entire mountainside was covered with Easter lilies. Amen. You know that's a resurrection flower, don't you? Amen. Can you imagine those scientists going up there and God ascending them, that mountain covered with Easter lilies? Amen. I said that to say this. If God, amen, can restore land after a volcano, my God, cannot He do the same with your life? Brother, sin is a destroyer. Sin, amen, is a damner. Amen. But God can take your life, amen, and bring glory out of it. Huh? Oh, God, help us. Amen. Oh, glory to God. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you something. Our America, our churches are fooling with sins like we've never fooled with before. You hear me? You hear me? Amen. First camp meeting I ever preached. I was thinking about it coming up the road today. It was I preached it in about somewhere in 1976 or 78, I preached the Southern Ohio camp meeting with Havis Crawford. So we got up there at that camp meeting that night, and things was going pretty slow, just to tell you the God's truth, amen. It was going pretty slow. But we got out there, and I think this was about a Wednesday night, we had a prayer line. And it was actually the altar service, the prayer line was. And Brother Crawford preached on divine healing. And then he lined people up to pray for him. Well, they started streaming in there. And we prayed, we anointed them with oil. And we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. We prayed for over an hour. We prayed for everybody that come by that wanted. And finally, about the end of it, almost to the end of it, there was a woman come walking down the aisle. And when she got ready to get prayed for, she said, "I need to talk to you a second." So she went over to the door. And I left the rest of us. We just found somebody to pray with, went back and prayed with them, you know. And she talked and she talked and she talked. Amen. She had a handkerchief. She cried a while. Amen. And Brother Crawford, he put his hand on her head and he prayed for her. And service went on. We kept praying with other people. Finally, it was all over. And I went back. They had us stand in a little old trailer. Brother Crawford stayed one end of it, and I stayed in the other end of it. And when he finally got over there to where I was at, he said, "We talked a little small talk for a few minutes." And he said, I asked him, I said, "Hey," I said, "that lady that was over there talking to you next to the door, I said, what's going on with her? What was going on with her life?" And he looked at me and he said, "Well," he said, "I promised her I wouldn't tell." Well, I'm a little bit facetious because I'd already been praying. And God told me exactly what she was telling him. Amen. And I said, "Brother Crawford," I said, "if I can tell you what she was talking to you about, will you tell me how it come out? I just want to know, you know, how it come out." And he said, "You tell me first." And I said, "That lady had an abortion. And now she's feeling the guilt of murder in her life." Amen. Hey, listen to me now. Listen to me. This is common stuff out here today, but it ain't common with God. It's a common sin. Listen to me, not tonight. Amen. I'm not for that. That's not abortion. It's murder. Amen. Hey, boy, he went on talking. She come back the next night, and she prayed, and she prayed. The rest of the meeting, she came back. Amen. But I want to preach tonight, amen, that God can build the old waste places. Oh God, there was a guy got out of prison. And one night about 10 o'clock, service over, I walked out in the parking lot. And this guy come rumbling in, an old jalopy. And he pulled up and slid around my gravel. And I ran out there to see what in the world was going on. So when I got out there, he was naked to his waist. And he started beating the steering wheel. And he said, he looked at me and he said, "Preacher," he said, "I can whip any blank, blank man on this mountain." Well, if he was going to whip me, I would have said, "Yeah, I thought you could do it too." I'm going to tell you something. When you think they can whip you and they think they can whip you, you're whooped. Praise God. Amen. You hear me? Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Yeah. I talked to him for just a few minutes, and he said, "Listen, preacher," he said, "do you love me?" And I said, "Yeah, I sure do love you." Amen. And he said, "If you love me, you'd go in that church house and pray with me." And I said, "Come on." Amen. So he got out of his car, and the rest of the people were scared of him. I mean, he's a killer. This boy's a killer. Amen. A known killer. And so we got up to the pew. I went up there with him. And he just stood and looked at me and he said, "Listen, preacher," he said, "I want to ask you something." He said, "Will God kill me? Will God forgive me for killing people?" And I said, "Yes, sir, he sure would." I said, "God forgive the Apostle Paul for murder." Oh, amen. Hey, I'm preaching tonight on he can restore the old waste places. Amen. Hey, what nobody else? Hey, listen to me tonight. That little old girl committed abortion, and I'm not for it, but my God, God can forgive you for fornication. You hear me? Oh, hey, one of hell's best tricks is tell everybody if you do anything, you can't get forgiveness. You can. My God, we lit into that altar. We lit into that altar, and I prayed with that boy, amen, for several hours, amen, for God to deliver him. Listen, church, amen. Oh, I don't like it either, amen. I hate the devil. I don't like any kind of sin. But listen to me tonight, amen. God can restore the old waste places. Hey, you ain't got me fooled one bit. You don't have me fooled one bit. Boy, we're in the last days. Amen. The number one sin in our country, all over this world, is the sex sin. Hear me? Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh, woo! I'll tell you. You go try to preach to a bunch of fat cats. You're going to strike out. You hear me? You hear what I'm saying? Brother Mike, what's a fat cat? That's some guy that's got it made, got everything hanging around the house, everything paid for. Amen. Can take off on Sundays a boating and a camping. My God, anything they want to. Amen. I'm going to tell you something. You go preaching to a bunch of fat cats. Amen. They're hard to move. Come on here now. Amen. We got more money than we've ever had. We're more prosperous than we've ever been. And you ain't about to listen to nobody. But I'm going to tell you somebody, amen, you got to listen to, amen, is Jesus Christ, amen. And I will tell you something else tonight. He loves the nobody. Hey, he's in the business of taking a nobody and making somebody out of him. Oh, listen on that. So it's a young woman had wasted herself in sin. She would whore herself out on a weekend with as high as 3 men at a time. She'd go to Washington, D.C. and stay up here in a motel with them. Amen. God only knows, amen, what all went on. Amen. She confessed a lot of it to my wife. Amen. A lot of it my wife kept to her. She never told anybody from that day to this. Amen. Oh, God. But I'm going to tell you something. When God got a hold of her, amen, she started going to revivals. And one night, God got a hold of her and convicted. I'm going to tell you something. If it was your boy or your girl, you'd think a lot different about it. Do you hear me? Amen. Boy, you'd be interested in them. You'd want some preacher to preach to them and try to get a hold of them. Hey, God help us tonight. Amen. I'm preaching tonight, amen, that he'll restore the old waste places. Huh? Amen. Oh. You take this. I'm just going to shoot straight with you. We've got things in our homes tonight that'll make television look like a pocker. Huh? I was raised with television, some folks. I remember 1955. They put old Elvis Presley on TV. You know, my old alcoholic daddy and my sinner mother wouldn't let me watch Elvis Presley on TV. They wouldn't let me do it. And you know what he was doing? He was shaking his hips and gyrating right on television. And my alcoholic daddy did not want me to see that. Listen to me now. Boy, we've hammered it and drove it. And so help me God, if now we ain't turned around and put something right in the hands of our children, that's 1,000 times worse. Well, listen to me, amen. Brother, sin is available. Little kids are getting a hold of it. Do you hear me tonight, amen? God, hey, listen. It'll drive them wild. It'll drive them crazy. Amen. Hey, all we care about, all kids care about today is a Game Boy and a PlayStation and something to drive them crazy. Listen to me while I preach to you just a little while. Hey, listen, kid. Amen. If you've got a hold of something that you know you're not of it, here to altar tonight is a place for it. Woo! Some of y'all done crawled back on me now. I'm up here tonight, and you're going to grade my paper. Before I get through tonight, I'm going to grade yours. Listen to me while I preach to you. Oh, God. Hey, listen here, sinner. Listen to me tonight. Amen. God is wanting to help you. If we're dumb, that's right. You can't control it. We've tried that for 30 years. God have mercy. Oh. Back home. Old girl, hey. You look up here at this old boy tonight. I believe it's a sin to watch movies. I'm of the old school. By God, I didn't come to church to go to the skating rink. I left the skating rink to come to church. Hear me now! Well, I knowed he was going to say something like, Just think of it. You got to listen to it all week. Oh, God. Woo! I tell you. Lord God in heaven. Lord God in heaven. Little boys and these little girls ought to be at the most innocent age of their life. God, oh boy, I tried to put this in my book, in the book Sister Savage put out. I got censored on it, but I'll preach it tonight. Well, it's just the names. They didn't care what you preached against in there. It was just I put the names in there, you know. I dressed it. Amen. But we was in camp meeting one morning. And let me tell you, everything goes wrong in your life, you've learned long ago. It's either the church's fault or the preacher's, one or the other. The reason you're not happy is because it's either the church's fault or the preacher's. You know that by now, don't you? You got a clear understanding of that. So, this boy... This man met his pastor down in Kentucky, and he came up to him and jumped on him. He said, "You listen here, preacher." He said, "I brought my girl to church ever since she was a little bit of baby. Amen. And now here she is expecting a child and ain't got no daddy. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, amen, it's your fault." So the old preacher said, I tell you exactly who taught her about fornication. Amen. I'll tell you exactly who taught her. He said, "You bought it, paid for it, and put it in the corner of your living room. Huh? Amen. And while you was gone, she was a-watching. Huh? She was watching her. How about God listen to me tonight? Oh, God. And it ruined you. You hear me? You start wanting that stuff, by God. Amen. It ruined your life. Yes, so. Oh, God. Amen. Amen. So what are you talking about? He said, "You bought and paid for that television and put it right in there. And she watched days of our lives, how the world pukes, amen, and everything else, amen. Hold it. Oh, listen to me tonight. Listen to me tonight, amen. Brother, hey, don't kid yourself. Don't you kid yourself 1 minute. Tear him down. Tear him down. Boys, what I'm getting ready to say, I've been wanting to preach at my home church for the last 2 or 3 weeks, but every time I get up to preach, I just can't remember it. So I'm going to write it down. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. If your mom and dad don't hold no better standard than that, it's time for you to get the religion of the Bible, amen, and go further than your mother and father has ever been with God. Amen. Now you don't have to accept that. Amen. Amen. Oh, I want a pure heart and I want a pure mind. And that's why I'm preaching. Why how I'm I don't care how much money you got. Huh? Amen. You're endangering your soul. Huh? You're endangering your soul. The soul. Oh, let me tell you something. If you're home and you're watching that ball game, if you're home and every bit of it is corrupt, you believe basketball is nasty, huh? Baseball is nastier, huh? Football's worse than that. It's all a gimmick to get your soul. Amen. I tell you what the holiness people are going to do. They are going to fiddle around like Caesar did, Rome. Amen. To watching sports and giving their lives up to sports. And the Lord's going to come and you ain't going. Ah, listen. Yeah, yeah. The Lord is going to come and you are going to stay home and watch it. You know, I lived in an era where Wilt Chamberlain scored over 100 points in one game. Yeah, it's the most ever been played or scored in one game of basketball. He scored exactly 100 points one night in a game. And when he quit, well, he's in hell now. But when he quit, he wrote an autobiography. And the name of it was View from Above. I imagine where he was 7'1" or 2 foot high, view from above. And in his book, he brags about having 20,000 different women. Now give him a big hand. Them guys live like animals. They ain't fit. They ain't fit to spend a dollar on. Huh? They ain't fit to spend a dollar on. I'm preaching to you tonight. Let me tell you something, brother. Amen. Sin will draw you down a long, hard road. And when the devil gets through, he'll laugh at you. I don't care how tore up you are. Amen. He'll laugh at you. He'll destroy your life and destroy your mind, destroy your purity. Hey, they want everybody else. Hey, the group right now that'll make fun of this kind of preaching, amen, will leave this tabernacle and they won't even come to see you in a hospital when you need them. Huh? The preacher will, but they won't. Amen. Listen to me while I preach to you tonight. Oh, God. Amen. Oh, brother Wayne Ray come by preaching one time and he told about the old Oklahoma Badlands. Y'all ever heard of that in history? Y'all study that, the Oklahoma Badlands? They still teach that in public school? Huh? Any of you? The Oklahoma Badlands? Well, let me tell you something. They got so ornery out there. They got so ornery that they mapped out a parcel of land, hundreds of square miles on a map. And if you didn't want to behave and you wanted to rule yourself by the law of self-preservation and you were wicked, and you wouldn't come under any kind of law. Amen. They'd throw you out there in them badlands. If they had prisoners that were just too rough, they couldn't do anything with them. Amen. They turned them loose in the Oklahoma badlands. Amen. I want you to listen to this. Amen. It was the law. U.S. Marshals wouldn't even go in. No kind of law would even go in there. Because they'd just shoot you just as soon as they found out who you was. And old Wayne Ray told this in church. He said the first holiness preachers that ever were in the state of Oklahoma came out of them Oklahoma badlands. That's where they came out of, the very first holiness preachers. Because God can take you, forgive you of your sins, and make something out of you. Oh, God. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, how many of you know Ralph Lowry? Y'all know Brother Ralph? Y'all know the story about him killing his brother? Huh? Yeah, he killed his brother in a knife fight. He was in a drunken stupor, got in a knife fight, and Ralph killed his own brother. And the next morning, the officials come in to talk to him, and they told him what he'd done. Said, Ralph, you've killed your own brother. Oh, boy, I'm telling you. Oh, man. He cried. The district attorney came in. And he told him, said, "There ain't a thing in the world I can do for you." And he walked out and left. And then detective came in. An old detective talked to him a little while. And he said, "There ain't a thing in the world I can do for you." And he turned around and walked off. His lawyer came in. He said, "I'll never forget it." He said, "I was sitting there crying." His lawyer talked to him a little bit and said, "There ain't a thing in the world I can do for you." And walked off. And then his mother walked in. And she talked to him. And she said, "Honey," she said, "there ain't a thing in the world I can do for you." And she walked off. And when she walked out, he said it wasn't 20 minutes till Jesus walked in. You know the rest of the story, don't you? God used him, saved him, and made a preacher out of him. God. Woo! Hey, listen. Don't hide your sin. Don't hide it. Be honest with yourself. Say, hey, I'm out here. I'm fooling around here just a little bit. Amen. Be honest with yourself. If you want to get rid of your sin, God can make something out of you. He'll do it. He'll do it. I was home sheetrocking my church and got a telephone call. I threw scaffolding high, and I was up there finishing sheetrock, bedding it in, and really striking the old. I'd done been over it once, going back and striking the places in it. I got a telephone on top of that scaffolding. An old boy on the other end of the line, he said, "Brother Mike." I said, "Yeah." I hadn't heard his voice in years and years and years, but I knowed who it was. He said, "Brother Mike." I said, "Yeah." He said, "It's Ben." I said, "Okay." He said, "Brother Mike," he said, "I've been going to churches around here." He said, "But I'm afraid I blasphemed the Holy Ghost." He said, "Brother Mike, do you think I blasphemed the Holy Ghost?" And I said, "No, sir, sure don't." He said, "You don't?" Boy, he was a crying. He was tore up because he was a sinner. And the Holy Ghost was on him, convicting him of his sins. And he was needing to get a hold of God. And I said, "I tell you how. I said, I can tell you how." Oh, how many people tonight, amen, has the devil told him, "Well, you blasphemed the Holy Ghost, you went too far. Amen, there's no help for you." And I'm going to tell you something. If you seeking God, if you've got a desire anywhere in your heart for the Lord, amen, you have not blasphemed the Holy Ghost. And God has not left you. Amen. Amen. He's wanting to save you and give you a pure heart and a clean heart so you can come to God. Woo! Listen to me now. Listen to me. I told old Ben, I said, "Ben, I said, you just need to come on to church. I said, God is going to forgive you of your sins." Boy, that Wednesday night we had prayer meeting, he drove 55 miles and come to church at night. And the power of God fell right there in the service. And he come to the altar and he prayed through and God saved him right there. Woo! Let me tell you, seven months ago, the Lord give us a breakthrough down on the little old river town. They call them river rats or river cats or whatever. Amen. Just a filthy, filthy, poverty-ridden place, I'm telling you. When Dave Wilkerson went to New York City, he never went anywhere as poverty-stricken as where we was. I'm telling you. You never seen anything like it in your life. It was that bad. There's an old boy there by the name of John Wayne. An old John is mixed up in fornication. Got a young woman in a little old trailer over here. She's drawing a county check, and he's drawing a county check. And if he gets saved, he knows he's going to lose one of them going to lose her county check. Amen. And, if he has to get right with God. So, we went to work and told John, go down there and pray. He ain't got but one leg, peg leg. He ain't but 51 years old, and he looks like he's 81 years old. I'm telling you. You never seen a guy that sin beat up on and just beat him up in all your life. Miserable. Amen. Live like animals practically all their life, just like animals. And lo and behold, I don't know how many times he said, "I can't come," or "I ain't coming," or "I don't have time to come." But lo and behold, Sunday morning, I went down there and we knocked on his door, and he said, I'm a coming to the house of God this morning. So him and two others came. Oh, the power of God fell in a Sunday morning in that service, and two of them come to the altar. And one of them said, John, he said, I want to pray. He said, would you go up to the altar with me? He said, sure. He said, I ain't going to stand in the way of nobody praying, getting right with God. So John got up out of his seat, and he walked up to the altar. The other old boy just had got out of prison. Got out of prison on Saturday, and he would come to church to make his vows up on Sunday morning. He come to the altar and started praying. And old John stood there. I went down off the altar, and I got a hold of him, and I said, John, I said, you want to come to the altar and pray? Old John looked at me, and he said, nah. He said, I'll just stand here and pray in my heart. Well, he couldn't get down at the altar and pray on account of his peg leg. I didn't know that. But I'd ask him to sit or whatever. But he said, Brother Roberts, he said, I'll just stand here and pray in my heart. Oh, God. Oh, Lord. I tell you what I do have tonight. I got a burning desire that nobody, I don't care how many people turns them down. I don't care what you've done. God will forgive you and restore you and bring you back. If he'll do that to a Volcano, and he'll do it to the Exxon Valdez, he can do it for you. He can restore you. Howbeit, old Samson went down in that 16th chapter of Judges. But the Bible said, howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. John chapter 1, he said, I will restore unto thee the years that the canker hath eaten. He'll bring you back. That's what he wants to do tonight. Oh, let's stand all over the building. Father in heaven, oh God, oh Father in heaven, Lord God, would you move right now? Would you move right now in the name of Jesus? Move on the hearts. Oh God, I feel so strongly. I feel so strongly about this. It's unbelievable. But if you're here tonight, and this won't save you, but if you're here tonight and you need help from God, I'm going to ask you to lift that hand right now and say, preacher, pray for me. Would there be one hand in this tabernacle? Oh, thank God for that hand. Would there be another one? Would there be another hand here tonight? You'll lift that hand and say, preacher, pray for me. Are you here? Are you here tonight? Would there be another one? Another one tonight? Come on. Thank God for that hand. Would there be another one? Come on. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. They can laugh at you all you want to. Oh, God, but they ain't going to have to stand for you in judgment. Would it be another hand? Right quickly. Oh, another hand. Another hand. Another hand. Oh, God. Someone else over here. Someone else over here to my left. Would it be another one over here? You lift that hand and say, preacher, pray for me. God, this means everything to me. It means everything to me. Over here on the right, is anybody over here? You lift that hand and say, preacher, my God, I just ain't where I need to be. If the Lord had come, I don't feel like I'd go. I need help. Would there be another one? Would there be another one somewhere? You lift that hand right now in the name of Jesus. Oh. I'll tell you what I'd like to do. You that's lifted your hand before anybody else comes, why don't you step out in that aisle and come to this altar right now? Would you do it? Come on. Come on. You that lifted your hand, come right now. My God, come on. Come on. Come on, sir. Amen. Come on. They're coming down the aisle. Why don't you come with them right now while they're coming? You won't have to feel so identified. God. Why don't you come right now? There's more that lifted their hand. Won't you come? Would it be more? Oh, God. Come on now. Would it be others? Come on. Right now. God, lift you. You lifted your hand. Come on. Come on, sis. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'm waiting on you. God, we're going to pray with these around this altar till they get satisfied tonight. God, have mercy. Oh, God. We're waiting on you. Come on. Come on. Would there be one more? You'll just step out in this aisle tonight. Oh, God, God Himself, God Himself. Oh, the restorer of the breach. Oh, visit your soul. Let's come, church. Let's all gather around these people. Amen. Let's gather around these tonight. Come on, sis. Oh, God, you need the touch of God tonight. Oh, would you please come? Would you please come in the name of Jesus? Woo! God, help us. Oh, hallelujah. God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, God. Oh,
holding on the best thing ever found. People said I'd never make it. They said I'd never see it through. But they don't know what keeps me going. I guess they've never met you. For my life was in shambles until the day you came along. Oh, you turned my tears to laughter, and you gave me a brand new song. Oh, I'm still holding on. Lord, I'll never let you go. Touch my soul, and all the bridges that's behind me, Lord, I'll burn them to the ground.